than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, it's been a little bit longer than we're used to in between shows. Did you guys think we forgot about you? No, we're still around. We're still looking for some Ravens points. We were waiting for a touchdown to happen. That's when we're going to do a new show, but then we just kind of gave up for that. So joining me, as always, to talk all about this Ravens season and the bad ending that it was. Josh, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Obviously, you know, it's always upset that the season ends. You know, you want your team to, you know, go all the way to the end. But one team out of 32 stands alone and can't be the Ravens this year. But one word I like to use, man, is disappointing. The end of the season was just disappointing, especially after they scored only 3 points, dude. I didn't expect that at all. I think if we had predicted a 3-point performance of the Ravens as a whole, we'd be still laughing to this day. It definitely is something I didn't expect, but it was even more frustrating, disappointing are the two descriptive words I would use among others. But it was not only disappointing, but frustrating that the game was so close in the balance. It's like you just willed them to do something. Like, come on, you know the old meme, like the little stick figure, like poking something. Come on, do something. Like that's right. Literally, you're just like, okay, maybe the next series, and then the Ravens would, you know, stop them, and then, you know, and then, you know, again, you know, brutal conditions, dude. Wind, blew 2 Tucker field goals against the goalpost. That was wow. It changes the momentum and the complexion of the game. And we'll certainly break that down on what it could have looked like for the Ravens, but a 3-point performance is obviously not going to get it done in the NFL playoffs by any stretch.
Yeah, I didn't have a good feeling for the Ravens going into Buffalo. I didn't think they were going to be able to get past the Bills. I thought the weather was always going to be a factor. I didn't think the wind was going to do what it did, but I thought the weather was going to be a factor. I just didn't think that they were able to get past the Bills, but I didn't think it was going to come down the way it did. I mean, that was the biggest shocker for me. The 3 points, that's it? I mean, I thought it was going to be like a 17-14 loss where they were kind of in the game for most of the time. But this was they weren't there. I don't know if they were mentally checked out or what was going on. But the running game wasn't working. Nothing was working. The defense kept us in the game. I mean, for what
10 offensive points they allowed, 10. Yeah. We scored 3. They scored 10 as offense. Yeah. We get it. They scored 7 on the pick 6, but when a Ravens defense holds a playoff opponent to 10 points, usually you win that game. Yeah. That's, again, frustrating. It's just like all you had to do was score. I said it. What is it? 3-3 at halftime. I said it. First touchdown is going to win the game. And bottom line, that's what it was. That's all it took. This reminded you, not the team, but the game. Reminded you of how the 2000 Ravens operated, right? Remember, get us 10 points and the game's over. That's pretty much what this game reminds you of. It wasn't going to be high scoring. You weren't seeing Lamar and Josh Allen going crazy in this game. The over obviously didn't hit. This was a windy, you know, northeast kind of football game, you know, in January, respective of the two cities, you know, Baltimore and Buffalo. You know, windy, cold, can't do much. It's just, wow. I expect a lot more, but the defense, man, if any positive comes out of this playoff loss, the defense was stellar. Absolutely stellar. I can't say enough. I mean, but I'm going to say they obviously held the Bulls in check. But I'm going to ask you this: did you observe what their offensive scheme was? Wasn't it frustrating? They didn't run the ball at all.
Right.
At all.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah.
You knew that. They didn't run their first run play until almost 2 minutes left in the first half. Brandon, in the first half. And we're watching the game. I told my dad, I'm like, you know what they're going to do. But just like the Ravens, right? You know what the Ravens are going to do. They're going to run the ball first. And you had to feel so confident, right? The first drive. Run 10 yards, punch him in the mouth. Another run 10 yards, punch him in the mouth. And we're like, all right, this is the Ravens are going to do today. They're going to run 200-something yards all over them and score 20, 30 points today. And, again, the miscues, the setbacks, had the momentum, and then what do you do? Take – was it the bad snap on the first series and put them back, and then they finally – they wanted to go for it. They didn't. They kicked the field goal. Actually, they did. The wind blew it. And the Tucker missed field goal, so empty possession there. You stop the Bills. You try to go kick a field goal again. It just didn't work out. And they finally made one, you know, that went through, and they stalled in the red zone. But you look at the complexion in the first half. If Tucker makes both of those field goals, right, on a normal non-blustery day, it's a different ballgame. Then you're taking a 9-6 lead at halftime. The game looks so different. Even if you give him benefit of doubt and he makes one of the two missed field goals, it's 6-3 Ravens at halftime. Really, the complexion of the game changes right there with a 6-point swing. Let's say everything else played out. The Bills obviously went down, scored a touchdown. Those 6 points are still there. Then it's 10-9 Bills. It's a 1-point game. Maybe the Ravens don't press too much in the red zone. Maybe Lamar doesn't throw a pick six. He jammed it in there, man. It was a forced play, probably out of the frustration because he wanted Hollywood on the crossing route on the third down play, yet the pressure got to him, couldn't get him. And then there it was kind of just like feeding it. And obviously, I have to go back and watch the highlights. My memory serves. I think the fourth down pass was to Mark Andrews. Can't remember, or it was Brown. Yeah. One of the two. Right. As I remember him being in the area, the vicinity of the pass. But it just was very frustrating that, let's say, again, breaking down the game. Lamar doesn't throw a pick six there. Let's go to scenarios, right? It's 10-6 at that point. Or no, it's 10-3 at that point. Let's say it's incomplete pass, fourth down. The Ravens don't go for it on fourth down for a touchdown. They kick a field goal. It's 10-6, different ball game. It's a 4-point game versus a 14-point game. So 10 points, it's a 10-point swing there. Totally different complexion. But with the Ravens offense, there's a lot to go over. Miscues, Lamar. I mean, wow, where do we start?
I want to just say with the Titans game, we said it. I said it. Everybody said it. Lamar got the two problems off of his back. He was able to win a playoff game, and he was able to work from behind and still win the game. Thank God. And then I even said, let's build this team around Lamar, and he's going to be the guy going forward. And then this Buffalo Bills game happened. They get 3 points, and everybody goes, Lamar's good. He's not great. Good morning football on that Monday morning. I mean, I know it's a Monday morning quarterback type of situation, but man, they ripped him a new one. They just were like, look, he's not
deservingly
the
guy
that, yeah, they he's deserving. Like, this is not who you build a team around. He's good in the regular season. He's not great. He's not somebody you can count on in the playoffs. I mean, complete 180 to what we saw against the Titans. So it was quite alarming to see the how quickly people change. But it's, you know, that what have you done for me lately type of league. But Lamar right now, he's got to be under the microscope. He really does. And it's a contract year. The Ravens are already talking about signing him to a long-term deal. So they have faith in him. But that performance in Buffalo, that's not going to hack it. You know, that is not going to win you anybody a Super Bowl. It's not going to get anybody very far into the postseason. It's not going to work. So I still have faith in Lamar that he can win the big one and he can go all the way. And he's a great player. I still believe he can get there. But there's some major work that has to be done to his game and the whole offense. And wasn't just him. I mean, we need a new center. I think that's so evident. And I know everybody's going to say, well, let's go draft a wide receiver and let's get a number one pick and let's get this a ball player, you know, somebody who's going to make plays. I don't know if that's the answer, because it was, you know, we've got some wide receivers here. Who knows where Willie Snead's going to end up? But, you know, they're not making plays either. It's the whole offense to me right now is just a giant question mark.
It is, man. It's a big question mark. You're right. Everybody is right to rip Lamar Newman and the offense. I mean, and it only starts with Greg Roman. I mean, again, there's so much to digest, you know, starting here with Lamar and the offense. That's not a MVP performance. That's not what you do, is what he said, changing the narrative, taking the next step. You finally got the two narratives right. Oh, Lamar can play from behind. Lamar can win a playoff game. He ran a road playoff game of that. All right. Let's see what this kid's got. Going to the division round. Can't get out of the division round. I mean, you know, two out of the 4 years, two out of 3 years, he's been in the division around the playoffs, won the wild card, you know, and couldn't get out of the wild card the first year. So there's some strides, but it's just not enough. It's not good enough. You know, there's times where I question his ability to read a defense with the blitz. Remember, you know, the blitz, he didn't see it coming, and it rattled him. You can see it. It looked like the Lamar that we saw in 2018 against the San Diego Chargers in the wild card game. It looked like the Lamar Jackson that we saw the year prior against the Tennessee Titans at home. It was just like, you know, rattled, unsettled, you know.
It's like a deer in a headlights.
Exactly. It's just, yeah. He sees the blitz coming, and he freezes, doesn't know what to do. You know, his MVP year in the regular season, the game slowed down for him. That's what you say about the great ones when they just perform at their highest levels. And not only that, but I there's really nowhere to blame, right? We're all anytime the Ravens do something bad, obviously lose the game, playoff game, we want somebody's head. And when I say we, the fans in general, you know, it's got to be the GM or the coach or fire Roman or Lamar's got to go. There's always somebody that needs to be held accountable. Obviously, it's a collective effort, you know, but we can sit there and obviously point to a few. But not only that, but I feel like Greg Roman shoulders some of that, because to me, does he not get creative and counter the blitz? If you see some of the great teams that – and not only great teams and or players, they counteract that. Even the great coordinators, you know, oh, they're going to blitz. We're just going to throw the where they're not, you know, oh, they're bringing pressure. They're not in the middle. Brandon, does this team have a no runner slant route at all? Don't see it in the playbook. It's in Madden. It's in the Ravens playbook in Madden. So they run it and it works. A team blitzes, run a slant route. Does Kansas City and all them run slant routes a lot? Yeah. Did New England run slant routes a lot? Yeah. In their heyday, you know, the Ravens, to me, their offense, they don't have these weapons, but they look like the offense where the blitz was coming and they were trying to like finish the routes and run the routes. And I'm like, they don't have that kind of time. You know, the knock on Joe Flacco later in his career was he didn't get rid of the football. He held the ball too long. Lamar's doing the same thing. Get rid of the football. Granted, there were some times where we saw the brilliance, you know, the bad snaps, and Lamar got it in his mind to say, hey, I need to get it out. Ultimately led to his demise with the concussion. Glad he's okay. But it just was, that was the exclamation point, or just, you just hung your head and you're like, that's it. You know, you just knew that, you know, you can't have the bad snaps. Obviously in the offseason, we're probably going to be looking for a new center. That's another miscue. You cannot have that.
Yeah. I think that's our number one thing.
If they don't draft one in the first round, I'll be shocked. I mean, just putting it right there. The Ravens got what, 25th, 8th pick. I have to look. I have yet to do my draft analysis, people. I'm still trying to watch the NFL playoffs. But I know the Ravens have a late-round pick, obviously, finishing on the top eight or the final eight of the NFL this year, so at 11-5. So, yeah, miscues, bad snaps, deer headlights, play calling, going away from the run. And again, this is a tale of two things, Brandon. Let me look at the teams. We knew the Bills couldn't run it and they could pass it. The Bills knew the Ravens couldn't pass it, but run it. It wasn't who was going to stop it, right? Because you can never truly stop it. You can manage and contain it. Like, the only thing I can allude to is the Ravens pretty much stopped Derrick Henry from running last week, or, you know, two weeks ago. Like, that was it. You know, you can make a team one-dimensional, but the problem of this matchup was, in this game, was the Ravens, yeah, they can run the football. The Bills can pass the ball. but they did it more efficiently, even though we as fans and the Ravens staff and everybody knew that the Bills could not run the football, and they're passing it pass play after pass play after pass play. And you're like, and you ask the question why you're watching this game, why can't the Ravens stop it? They might not be able to stop it or manage it, but maybe the Bills are just that efficient. Maybe they have passed more efficiently than the Ravens ran the ball more efficiently. The Ravens started it in the first drive, and then a whole series of unfortunate events, missed field goal, wind, bad snaps, quarterback deer in the headlight play, play call. Then it all just started crumbling down, and the Bills never lost their composure. They were like, okay, let's take the ball in the second half, get one touchdown, game over. Then the Ravens tried to force it in there to tie the game at 10. Pick six was all she wrote. So it just was one of those things where everything that went wrong could go wrong, and then some, and then some, and then you're just sitting there like, we're back to square one. The yeah. Ravens took, you know, major steps forward the week prior in the wild card round against Tennessee. Man, that was a great win. Good revenge win, snuffed out that offense big time. 2,000-yard rusher, you know, barely even heard of. And then, but again, you got to tip your hat, credit the Bills. They've had a great year, right? Josh Allen leading the team, their first playoff win in 25 years. It just was awesome to see. And by the way, not only that, but the bright spot about this, obviously we know the end result, they didn't make the big game, but we were all rooting for them. How about the Bills Mafia fans, man? Lamar Jackson got hurt, concussion. He's fine. Obviously, he was able to fly home with the team.
Right.
You know, he was signing autographs for fans apparently outside the stadium. So, I mean, he's fine. It just sucks to see, but it wasn't any long-term effects. I mean, he'll be fine. We're in the offseason now, but you hate to see that anyway. With him going down, Bills Mafia apparently started donating to Lamar's charity because they were hoping he's okay. And a lot of Bills fans couldn't find the tweets, but a lot of them were like, look, you know, he's one of my favorite players. I want him in the league. I hope he's going to be okay. And they're donating. So then days later, you have Ravens flock donating to Josh Allen's charity. So all in all, it's just a football game. You know, we get upset, but it's more than a game out there. And that was awesome. To bring it all together, win or lose, to show that kind of support with fan bases and cities, that's what it's all about. And I wish every fan base and teams were more like that. I mean, again, everybody's got their pocket of good and bad, everybody. I mean, but a lot, as we know it in this world, the bad shines more than the good, and we need the light overcome the darkness. And that's awesome. You know, that to me was special.
I knew a little bit about Bills Mafia, but I knew like the
you're holding back secrets.
Tables.
You knew a little bit. Oh yeah, I mean, who could forget their WWE antics? I mean,
yeah, I mean,
come on. If they made Super Bowl and won it, I've already told Bills Mafia fan that I knew I was going to tape myself, going through a table if they made Super Bowl. So I'm glad that the Chiefs won because I did not want to go through a table
right.
for them making the Super Bowl appearance. But yeah. So thank you for that, but it's fun.
Yeah, I didn't know much about them, but after the game, the fact that they donated to his favorite charity, and it's funny that Lamar did sign autographs for people. It wasn't for Ravens fans. It was for Bills fans. The Bills fans went to the airport and were, you know, behind a
even better
fence trying to get some stuff signed. So good for them. But we brought up the weather and the bad plays. We have to give the Bills Mafia credit because they were a huge factor in this game. This was the first time that the Bills fans were able to go to a game this season, and it threw the Ravens off 100%. There were so many penalties on the offense, and one penalty was called on Bradley Bozeman, and I think it almost put them into our own end zone, and they zoomed in on Bradley Bozeman's face, and he said, I can't hear what you're calling, because the Bills fans were so loud. I think that also was another factor that the Ravens had to deal with, was the fact that this season, the majority of the games were not played in front of fans. So to have that extra noise pollution, they weren't used to that. So, I mean, I know that's not really an excuse because every other team in the league had to go through it. But I think, like you said, everything that could have gone wrong did. The Ravens had to deal with that. The weather, which we saw them against the Patriots, they didn't play well in bad weather in New England. Now the fans, they had to deal with there as well. I mean, it just seems like the Ravens were completely unprepared for this game.
You know what? That is an underlying factor. Even the announcers on the TV were saying how loud the fans were making the effect. But you know what's interesting about that? They were half of what Tennessee had. Tennessee had 14,000 fans.
Oh, really?
And what, Bills had, what, 6,000?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so to me, yeah, I mean, it's great, right? You know, for the fans or lack of fans being there, it has been a crazy factor because we don't know how that could affect it, not only the Ravens, but any other offenses or anything across the league. But it's amazing to me how half the Bills fans can make more noise than the Tennessee fans. But then it also goes to the flow of the game, right? The Ravens controlled the narrative against Tennessee and took them out of the game. It wasn't like Derrick Henry was running all over the place and they're all going crazy. The fan factor is just, it's fun to talk about because of the Tennessee, you know, factor, and half the fans were at the Bills game. But you're right, credit Bills Mafia. They brought it, could have been a factor. And I didn't actually know that Bozeman had a hard time hearing, but imagine the impact of that, right? But it also backs up me calling out the Ravens fans when the one and only time we got to go to M&T this year for the Steelers game, I called him out because everybody was quiet. And I'm like, if 6,000 plus Bills fans can make more noise for a playoff game than the one and only time we get to go to stadium for a big rivalry matchup in October and our fans aren't really making noise. I mean, I don't know what it was like on TV because I was there, but it didn't seem to me like it was that loud. So
yeah,
you got to credit Bills Mafia once again, man. Absolutely.
Yeah, so, I mean, now we know who's going to be in the Super Bowl. It's going to be Patrick Mahomes. It's going to be Tom Brady. It's the Bucks. It's the Chiefs. This is going to be a good matchup, and I know a lot of people are – it was actually – I saw a meme online. It was actually kind of funny, and it says how everybody wanted 2021 to go back to normal since 2020 was so crazy, and they said, by going back to normal, I didn't mean Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. But
that's
it looks
pretty
like
funny.
That's what we, looks like that's what we got.
Or Patrick Mahomes back in it because, I mean, it happened last year.
But we got to give credit to both of those teams and especially the quarterbacks. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is able to come back and after that concussion where he – I mean, man, I was very worried for him. He was out on his feet. He had no idea. You see his eyes. He had no idea where he was. So I got to give him credit for being able to come back. And Tom Brady – 10 Super Bowls. I mean, love him or hate him, the guy is the best to ever play the game, hands down. 10 Super Bowls. I mean, it's like the Undertaker at WrestleMania with his winning streak. I don't know if you're ever going to see that again. 10 Super Bowls is insane.
It is, man. If you put it in perspective, there's going to be a 55th Super Bowl played in less than 2 weeks. Tom's been in 10 of them. While we're talking about the big game and the numbers, obviously, you know, for the narrative sake, how about this? How about this one for you? When Tom Brady won his first Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes was 6 years old.
God.
Stop that. Like, and they're playing against each other in the Super Bowl. It's just, come on, really? You can't make this stuff up, but for the narrative of greatness, you're seeing the transfer of power, and I use that term loosely because they're like, yeah, there's no power in the NFL. Power in winning, the power in success, the power of greatness is what the power is. And you're seeing the transcendence of one generation and era and a new one. And this is what this Super Bowl coming up could not be any more awesome for the sake that of the league, of sports, of seeing anybody's going to get their touch of greatness, right? You're either going to see Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas Chiefs win two in a row, which the last time that was a repeat champion was Tom Brady's Patriots, mind you. On the other side of the ball, you have a Tom Brady who's been there before, 10 Super Bowl, 14, he just won another conference championship, his 14th conference championship appearance he was in, and he has the chance to not only, you know, add to his legacy, right? We know it. We understand that Peyton Manning's conversation of the Hall of Fame lasted 13 seconds for his induction to be a finalist. Tom Brady, hey, might be a second. I mean, it's wow. If he wins a seven out of 10, I mean, really, you know, even if he ends up losing, still an accomplishment. You know, going to 10, winning 6, losing 4, wow. But and just the crossover of greatness in these sports that we're seeing in the eras that we're living in, you know. Not only that, but Tom Brady joins LeBron James in the last 30 years to have at least 10 championship appearances. You know, LeBron, you got it, right? LeBron from Cleveland to Miami to LA, back to Cleveland. You know, LeBron was in the finals like every other year. It was in every year. It was like whether his team, whatever team was on, they made the finals. Whether he won or not, it's a different story. But it was constant. It was like whatever team he's on, NBA finals. Whatever team Tom Brady's on, Super Bowl. Just look in the last 20 years. I mean, you know, Tom Brady's played, what, 20, 21 years? And he's made the Super Bowl in half his time. So Tom Brady's played in the big game half his career. When some players don't even sniff it once. And he's played it 10 times, where he's going to be playing it 10 times. It's special. Not only that, but the body of work the Buccaneers did this year. Tom goes to a new team, new playbook, new everything, right? Obviously, this guy's pal, Rob Gronkowski, with him. No Spygate, no Deflategate, no Gates, no nothing. Goes down there, takes a losing franchise, 11-5, kind of in the same boat the Ravens were. Ravens were 65-1 out to 11-5 record. Bucks did the same thing. Buccaneers were 7-5, 1 out, 11-5, 5th seed. Had to go to the road the whole time, road warriors. Tom Brady tied, because Tom Brady always played at home with New England, he tied Joe Flacco for the most road playoff wins in NFL history. So that's something special. Nod to Joe and his postseason success. Nod to Tom for what he can do. Not only that, but how cool is this? We're finally getting to see a team that is representing the Super Bowl playing their own stadium in the Super Bowl. Like,
first time.
I've always wanted that to happen. Now it's going to happen. But not only that, but imagine if the Buccaneers can win that. Tom win a seventh, and they win it in their own stadium. And I don't know if you followed this, Brandon, but after the wild card win against Washington, when I followed their journey, I followed all the teams in the playoffs, obviously not only the Ravens. I'm not always purple and black. I love football. Love it. One of the – I forget what player was interviewed that said it was a big motivator when their practice field is in viewpoint of the stadium and while they're practicing, because obviously Tampa Bay was on the road all playoffs. They never had a home playoff game in the playoffs. And even if they did, I don't know how that would work with them trying to change everything. It's like, well, obviously they got to play a home playoff game. How do you change everything with the Super Bowl? But anyway, obviously they would probably have to do it in 2 weeks instead of a whole month. But anyway, my point is – they were saying it was a big motivator because while they're practicing on the field they were practicing on, they could see everything around them changing. The Super Bowl advertisements, the stadium facades and everything, the banners. And, you know, not everybody said, well, it's cheating. That's not cheating because it ain't their fault that the Super Bowl is scheduled years in advance in Tampa Bay and they so happened to be playing in it or in the playoffs that time. But it's a big motivator. So it kind of was an X factor to say, hey, we can be back here in a month. Let's do it. So it's pretty cool from a football standpoint. Patrick Mahomes, his greatness. Tom Brady, his greatness. Love him or hate him. Travis Kelce, Andy Reid. This is a football fan's dream for the Super Bowl. I actually love it. But any way you slice it, the Final Four in the NFL, we'd love the Ravens to be there, right? We get it. We want Lamar to get that glory. We want Lamar to get there. We want his due. He's not ready yet. But to see the Bills, Chiefs, the Packers and the Buccaneers this past weekend on Championship Sunday, what a treat. You're seeing the new guard and the old guard. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, the old guys. You know, the greatnesses, the Super Bowl wins, the Hall of Fame resumes. Obviously, Mahomes isn't done his. He's just starting his Hall of Fame resume. Josh Allen's starting to build his greatness. You know, he had a great year. You know, Bills finally won the AFC East. They get a home playoff game. They got two playoff games at home. And, you know, so kudos to them. And you're seeing, like I said, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield. Obviously, we knew the Browns lost last weekend. And that made it a little bit sweeter, right? The Ravens lose on Saturday. Well, the Browns didn't win either. So no one shares success. So, you know, it was good to see. But this league is set with some young talent for a while. And the Ravens are going to do their jobs to get better, obviously. The offseason looms. As we know, the draft's a couple months away. You know, the combine's going to be iffy because of the COVID guidelines still. I don't know if they're still going to be performing an NFL scouting combine. It remains to be seen in February. But Ravens have some needs. We know what they are. But unfortunately, you know, what they did, I feel like the Ravens were playing with house money, my friend. I felt like they shouldn't even been in the playoffs. You know, COVID, the way they've been playing all year, the adversity they dealt with, the inconsistent play. And I'm like, yeah, just they were a good team. They weren't a great team. And then it was like, okay, Strong wins together. And then, all right, and then you're building the hype. And it kind of just, at that point as a fan, you didn't care. All right, team made the playoffs. Let's go. Let's win it all, you know. And but there's a lot more work to be had. Ravens fell short for the third straight year. Didn't make it out of the division round for the second straight year. Making strides, but it's not good enough. Lamar's got to be better. Everybody's got to be better. All around, man, there's going to be some changes. As we know, this coaching staff is going to remain intact. But there has been some additions, right? We have some new head coaching. We've had some new coaching additions to give a shout out to.
Yeah, there's been a couple coaching additions. I think there's a couple coaches have left for other jobs as well around the league. Or I think didn't Harbaugh's brother take one of the coaches from the Ravens? So he's a coach at Michigan now.
I think so. I think my memory serves correctly. And then Ravens hired a Ryan back, but it's not the Rex that we are thinking of.
Right. Yeah, it's his brother.
Yeah, Rob Ryan is joining the staff for the Ravens. So kudos to Rob being joining, and it's going to be good for the capacity of, you know, the coaching staff is going to remain intact. I know a lot of people are questioning, you know, Roman and the creativity and the offensive play calling. There's a lot more than just pointing fingers at Roman. Roman's a big part of that because the schemes run through him and he kind of has his fingerprint on that. But, you know, all in all, you know, and basically breaking it down, there's really not going to be any changes from the top. It's all going to be the player and personnel changes there. We're going to see what remains. I mean, there's a lot on the table. Ravens have a list of free agents. Matt Judon wants a lot of money. What will the Ravens target in the draft? There's a lot to be had here. Obviously, we'll cover it every step of the way as we have the pulse of the Ravens here on the call. Never going away. Obviously, the offseason, we slow down a little bit, but we're never too far away. Is obviously when breaking news happens for the Ravens and some things fall into place, we'll certainly be here to break it all down. But, to wrap it up, dude, it's just been a disappointing year all around for the way it ended.
Yeah, but, I mean, already looking at the next year, Eric DaCosta looks like he's very hard at work, like you brought up. He's got a lot of decisions to make. He likes the fact that this team is young, and that is a good thing. You got to think about it. Mm-hmm. As much as we have given Lamar some crap this game and how everybody did, 2 Mondays ago, he is still a young guy. He's 24 years old. He's got a lot of years left in the tank. So hopefully he's learning something from each one of these losses. I'm a huge Capitals fan. It took Alex Ovechkin 10 years to get a Stanley Cup, to even get to the finals. So
right, exactly. I mean, and then he won it.
Yeah, and we're in this for the long haul. But it looks like Eric DaCosta likes the fact that this team is very young. If you look at some of the players that have already been let go, Mark Ingram has already been let go. So obviously, they're putting all the eggs in that basket of J.K. Dobbins. So they are very impressed with Dobbins. He's going to be the future. Hey, Dobbins is now the present. So Mark Ingram was let go. Robert Griffin III has already been let go as the backup, which I think that's very interesting because as we saw in the playoffs and even in a game like Cleveland, the backup quarterback position is very important on this team. RG3 got a chance to play against the Steelers. Not a very impressive performance there. And then we had Trace McSorley come in, and I was somewhat impressed to see what he could do. I thought him and Hollywood Brown were able to play very well together, but then he got injured. And now a guy who was on the practice squad, wasn't even playing football at the beginning of the season, came in and got to play in a divisional playoff game in the NFL. And his performance, again, not the greatest either. So I think that backup QB position, I mean, of course, with a spot like center, is absolutely we need somebody new there. But there's a giant question mark on who's going to be the backup QB going forward. And as much as, things happen. Look at what happened with Lamar. That concussion knocked him out of the game. You know, maybe a bathroom break knocked him out of that Cleveland game. He's saying it was leg cramps. Everyone's speculating it was something else. But a lot of these reasons that Lamar might have to miss a game, who's going to back him up? You need a solid backup QB, and right now the Ravens are kind of looking to see who can fill that position.
The water boy. How about that? Hey, he's always there when you need him. Yeah, I mean, the moves they're intriguing, but they're expected. But they're not done, right? It's because they released some players. There's no reason to hold your head and going, what's going on? They're going to fill draft, free agency. This is a long offseason. It's still January. The Super Bowl hadn't even been played yet. You know, we wish everybody well. You know, obviously Mark Ingram, great memories, great player. RG3, you know, gave him a second chance on his career. You know, we wish these players well. Not only that, but Wolfpack got broken up, man. Morgan Cox.
That's right. Yeah, Morgan Cox. So I think that one shocked me the most, the fact that they would let Morgan Cox go, because he's been with this team, what, 13 years? That's crazy.
They've been together for a long time. Yeah, so Wolfpack is no more. So you're seeing a lot of, you know, like Ray Lewis always alluded to, right? He says everything that starts has an end. And, he was alluding to his career when he said the last ride. But, yeah, I mean – you know, that was unexpected. I like to see where they go with that move. Again, it's the business of the NFL. You have to understand it, whether you want to wrap your head around it or not. But, you know, the Ravens are going to look quite different. But I feel like the nucleus of the team, they're young. They're right. Not only that, but, yeah, we want the Ravens to win it now. We get it. We want Lamar to succeed. We want to see him do it. Whether he's a Raven for a long time, I know DaCosta wants to keep Mary. He's already said it for a long, long time. And there's a deal that's looming here. It could be in the offseason. We don't know. You alluded to Alex Ovechkin winning it. It took him so many years to win it. Not comparing Lamar to these players, but I'm just saying you keep him there consistent. Get him in the playoffs. Get him better. Get the offense better. Get the defense better. Get the team better. He don't need to win it this year. You know, there's plenty of time. He's only, what, 23? I mean, he's playing the playoffs every year. He's been the quarterback since he's been drafted. It's all he's known. So it's like Joe Flacco. It took Joe to win it. It took Joe 5 years. You know, what if after the 2011 Lee Evans drop, Billy Cundiff missed field goal, we just said, oh, Joe can't win the big game. It sucks, but he can't. Like, no. Did not John Elway win his Super Bowls till the very end of his career? You know, there's time, you know, we get it. We want him to win, not one, two, three. We want him in multiples. But I believe Lamar believes what he said on draft night. You're going to get a Super Bowl. I don't believe that. Notice his words. He didn't say Super Bowls. He said Super Bowl. And I'm not saying we're only going to win one, but, if the Ravens win multiple, it'd be fantastic under his leadership in the offense. But again, he believes that. You got to set the goals lofty, and that's the goal for every team. You know, Jacksonville, Jaguars included, at 1-15, first overall pick, new head coach. They got to believe they got to win the Super Bowl, whether it's this year, next year, or the year after that. Every team's got the same slate of goals, but only one can be at the end, and Ravens fell completely short this year. We're going to cover the offseason moves to see what the team looks like in 2021, man. But it's not the way you want it to end, man. Not the way you wanted it to end.
No, not at all. And I mean, it would have been nice just to see a little bit more fight from the team. It just, it seemed like they were outcoached, outmatched, outplayed in every
That's
way.
That's the phrase right there. When you outcoached, there's too many times. Harbaugh is a great coach. Don't get me wrong. Obviously his resume speaks for itself. You have to wonder sometimes, does he really get outcoached a lot? And I think he does more oftentimes than he doesn't. You need to just be more creative. That's all. Not to say he's a bad coach. I mean, obviously he's a winning coach, but he's got to think outside the box a little bit. Be creative. It's easier for us to say we're on the podcasting side of things. We're not in the NFL personnel and coaching ranks, but just got to think about it a little bit. See what we can, be creative going forward. But out coaching has certainly been an issue. That's an understatement. Yeah.
All right, Josh, well, have we covered everything for this depressing episode of The Call?
If you're asking me, I look at the Raven sitting up there on the mantle, and he says, quote the Raven, nevermore. Let's get out of here.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always Italian GQ52.
All right, now go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And we're always sharing any kinds of information, news, or anything we find that you guys think might be interesting to talk about. We will post it up there on the Facebook page. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Make sure you stay tuned to Facebook, and when a new show comes out, we will let you know. They're going to be a little bit more sporadic as the off season happens. Tell us what you guys want us to do, though. Like Josh and I have kind of talked about a little bit. We're thinking maybe like a Twitch channel could be fun, and we could do some watch-alongs or something like that in the off season. Let us know what you guys want to see, and we'll try to, maybe we can do a live call show when the schedule comes out on Facebook and try it out there. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But Josh, let me know. Get us out of here the way you always do. But let us know, who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl? Because I gotta say, I'm kind of rooting for the Bucks. Ryan Jensen, former Raven, is the center there, and he did a lot of great stuff for animals and dogs here in Baltimore, and he's still a part of Show Us Your Soft Side. So I got to say, I'm kind of rooting for Ryan Jensen and the Bucks.
Yeah, I tell you this, you never miss an opportunity to support or plug in a former Ravens guy. It's always good.
That's right.
Ryan Jensen has been awesome. I missed him, man. Speaking of centers and all that, I miss his tenacity and attitude. He's always played like a Raven, and he's doing it with Tom down there, you know, blocking his behind and pushing some defensive linemen around and being a little, he's being a Buccaneer. Let's put it that way. He's definitely fits the bill down there.
Do you remember, was he the guy when Joe got knocked out in that Dolphins game on Thursday Night Football? Remember he got tackled and, I mean, clearly got a concussion. Wasn't Ryan Jensen the guy that took up for Joe after he got taken out by that Dolphins player?
I believe he was, and I'm going to have to go back. Now you're going to cause me to go back and look at that. But, yeah, I believe he was. Ryan Jensen, it felt like he always had his boys back. That was the kind of player you want to go in the trenches. And the Bucs got a good one, and obviously I root hard for him. But, again, can't really go wrong with this. But, yeah, I'm going for the Buccaneers. You know me, been a Tom Brady fan. I've always been. As his career's moved on, I just love the greatness. I love everything about the Bucs winning it. Not to discount the greatness of the Chiefs. Kelce, Hall of Famer. You know, we already know Mahomes is building his resume quickly. Even if they do it again, back-to-back Super Bowls, hard to do. Would be unprecedented to take down Tom Brady to do it and to be the first to repeat since Tom Brady's Patriots. So any storyline, I feel like anybody who hosts the Lombardi next Sunday, not going to be sad about it, right? It's going to be, hey, it's awesome. Good for them. They deserved it. Somebody's going to get their day of greatness. But for the Buccaneers to do what they can do with Tom Brady, to Tom Brady take his first team, the first year on his new team after all those years in New England, go to the big thing, win it in their home stadium. I love Bruce Arians as a head coach. Loved him to get a ring. I don't want to say hate to say this, but look, we get it. Some of these players, they're all field antics, aren't all that in a bag of chips, right? Right. Definitely not stand-up guys, but I would love to see Antonio Brown get one. You know, antics aside, Hall of Fame career, great wide receiver, one of the greatest to ever do it. Gave us headaches for years in the AFC North with the Steelers. I love to see AB get his ring. I would actually like AB to get it more than Le'Veon Bell, to be honest with you. But, yeah. Got to look at that. Not only Ryan Jensen, former Raven, but I love some of the coaching staff that the Bucs have. You know, Andy Reid obviously got his due last year. It's going to be a fun Super Bowl. But yeah, the Buccaneers to win it all. Not only that, but you alluded to it in the show, in front of probably some of their own fans in their own stadium.
Yeah.
As we know, the NFL is opening the stadium to 22,000 fans. 7,500 will be in attendance of vaccinated healthcare workers on the NFL's dime to attend the game. So that's awesome for the NFL to do that. going to be an incredible halftime show with The Weeknd. I'm so looking forward to that. I'm a fan of his music. I'm definitely looking forward to that halftime show and seeing what funny Super Bowl commercials are going to come out of this one this year. But ultimately, I feel like I'm on the Buccaneer side of things in Tampa Bay. And honestly, to let the cat out of the bag, if it wasn't for, because I've always liked them, right? Pirate ship, the pirate theme. It wouldn't have been the Raiders. It probably would have been Tampa Bay because they're closer in the East Coast. But the Ravens would have never came to Baltimore. Probably would have latched on to them, honestly.
Okay.
Not saying it, obviously Tom Brady's never been on the team. I'm not saying it because they're good this year or anything like that. But I'm just saying I've always loved interacting with the pirate theme and the ship. And it's pretty cool. And I rooted for them a couple years after the Ravens won theirs in 2000 and 2002 when it was the Pirates Super Bowl and the Raiders played the Bucks. I mean, you can't go wrong. Raiders fans are awesome and they're a special franchise in their own right. But, you know, being on the East Coast, I probably would have latched on to a pirate themed team with the Buccaneers. Could have been the Raiders, who knows? But we're thankful that we got Ravens football in 96 and they brought us two Super Bowls, countless Hall of Famers, the great Ray Lewis, Jonathan Ogden, Ed Reed, and others to follow. Terrell Suggs, Marchionda could be a Hall of Famer here too. Lots of great players in the ranks. So can't complain about that, right? Ravens have had they spoiled us, man. And who would have thought after 20 something years, we would have the spoils of an NFL fan to enjoy with this franchise. So man, room for the Bucks. We'll see. It's going to be a great game. We'll see in 2 weeks. Might even pop on the call Facebook Live and maybe do a post Super Bowl show. If you're all good, or if you guys are good with that, just to, you know, can give reactions like, man, that was a cool game. Maybe talk some commercials that we saw, some of the gameplay, you know, breaking it all down.
A lot of places are not doing commercials, which is crazy for this year. I know a lot of, like, I think Coca-Cola, Budweiser, and Pepsi are all sitting out. No commercials this time around.
All the big hitters. That means make room for the little guys. They'll make some funny ones.
I hope so.
Yeah. Man, I hope so too. But we'll see. Anyway, it's going to be a great Super Bowl. I know everybody be safe out there with their, you know, COVID Super Bowl parties. Keep it safe out there. I'm going to be, you know, with some close my family, obviously, and you know, my dad. Get to enjoy the game, you know, watch it in style and breaking it all down and enjoying another good football game. And not only that, but you have to tip your hat to the NFL, bro. Again, we're one game from the NFL completing a full entire slate of games, 256 games. I don't feel like doing the math right now, but a whole full playoffs, no canceled games. We alluded to it. There's been some knees moved around, Ravens included, in this wackiness of the COVID environment. But NFL did it, man. They're a one Super Bowl game away from a complete 2020 season. That, to me, is probably the best sports story of all, given last year. They did it. And I personally, among a lot of people that I know, didn't think the NFL could do it. I thought it was going to get canceled a quarter of the way, maybe halfway through, maybe a condensed season, and then maybe a hybrid playoffs like the rest of the sports did. But they did it, and wow. And again, players, coaches, staff, everybody, the players, families, everybody, all families included, to put up with all this stuff, the testing, NFL did it, and that's awesome.
Yeah, and it's crazy what they were able to do. Congratulations to them. But let's hope that we never have to see a season like this again. Let's really hope by August there's actually a preseason, and let's hope that we can have fans in the stands and that we can enjoy watching football together again. That's what I really want to see. Because while this was great to have football on TV and something to look forward to every single week, I never want to see another sporting event without fans in the stands. So
it's not the same.
Yeah, let's really, really hope that in 9 months, we're back to somewhat normalcy, or as close to normal as we can get.
100% agree, and it definitely miss them. Not only that, but when you make the memories at these games, as we do, when you're with family and friends at these games and just enjoy the moments. But it definitely sucks when you play the sports video games and you hear the roar of the crowd, and you're like, you just get so depressed. You're like, oh, so that's what crowd sounds like. That's what people in the stands look like. Or you see highlights of like old games and you're like, back when, it just feels like it was years ago. So you're right. Let's hope that this is a one-year anomaly. Let's get back to it. I plan to be present for the 2021 home opener for the Ravens. So we'll see how that unfolds for this year. But until then, call faithful. Appreciate all your interactions this year. You know, we always appreciate the comments and the discussions and the questions and everything, man. You couldn't do it without you guys. It's awesome. It's a complete effort. Brandon put it out. We do the hard work to put it out for you guys, but it takes you guys to keep it going and wanting the shows and interacting. It's awesome. So we appreciate always the support. New and old call faithful. Always we shout out to say thank you. Big thank you for sticking with us, especially through 2020. It's been a crazy year as we know it, but let's look forward to this offseason. Let's look forward to the Ravens to get better. Let's look forward to the Super Bowl game that's before us. And, let's end it on a high note, right? How about it? 2020 offseason, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.